This morning, we're going to continue our series, Faith for the Journey. And the book of James, in James chapter 2, verse 18, James says this. James says, "Yea, a man may say thou hast faith, and I have works. He says, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." You know, in his book, James makes it clear that faith is active. If there is faith in someone's life, it should be seen. It should be evidenced by the way they live. And faith will produce works. You see, in the book of James, we find that works are produced because of someone's faith, because they live for God and they walk with God. Active, that's being busy. Some have active children, real active children. Maybe some of you were active children when you were younger. Maybe some of you still are active. You know, that's natural when you think about it. With children, as they grow and as they mature, they become active. You know, a lot of times if a child does not become active, we may think it's a problem where we see if everything's all right. But children become active as they grow. Now, some become more active than others, but they grow and they become active. They get involved and they move around. You see, faith, when faith is in someone's life, when someone trusts Christ and they're saved and their life has changed, faith will produce activity. Faith will not lead to inactivity or laziness, but faith will direct someone to actively live for God. And as believers grow in the Lord, as they read their Bible, as they pray, as they grow closer in the Lord, I believe they'll become more active. Now, I'm not talking busy necessarily. You know, we can be busy. We can be busy and not get anything done. And in Christian service, we can be busy as well. Active faith, living by faith, and being directed by our faith and looking to God. According to James, if there is no works, now of course works come due to activity. If there's no works, then there's no faith. There's no faith. Today we're going to notice that faith produced activity in the life of Moses. Last week we talked about Moses, his decision that he made, and today we're going to see the activity that was produced because of his life of faith. Hebrews chapter 11. This morning, and I'm going to read three verses. It says there in we're going to begin in verse 27. It says, "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do," it says, "were drowned." Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings you provided. And as we look at these three verses, as we look at these examples of activity that Moses had because of his faith in you and how you guided and directed his life, I pray that they'll challenge us this morning, Lord. I pray that they'll remind us of how you, of course, can lead us and direct us, but also how faith will become active in our life and how we can live by faith. Please bless us today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Moses made a decision to live for God. And I believe that what we find in Hebrews 11 is after he made that decision, after he made the decision to forsake the world, to leave all the treasures, and to look to God, we're given very distinct areas of activity. Three examples of how his faith produced action is what we find in the Bible. And this morning, I believe, once we're saved, faith will produce action in our life. And it can be no more than just reading the Bible. I mean, I imagine there may be some here this morning that before you were saved, you had no interest in the Bible. The Bible was just, well, it was just a book. It was there. Maybe you didn't disbelieve it, but you just had no interest in the Bible. And then trusting in Christ as your Savior, you had an interest. The next thing you know, you're studying the Bible. You enjoy the Bible. You read the Bible. You know, the same can probably be said concerning prayer or just walking with God in general. But you know, faith should produce some activity in our life. And we're going to see that with Moses. And we're going to look at three areas. That's what we're given, three examples. And we're going to look at all three of them. But I want you to notice first that by faith, or because of faith, Moses followed God's direction, though he may have been afraid. I tell you what, he had reason to be afraid. But he followed God, and the Bible tells us he did not fear the wrath of the Pharaoh. Now, according to the Old Testament, Moses left Egypt two times. The first time is when right after he committed to follow God, he looked over, he saw a harsh taskmaster there. He went and confronted him. Things turned worse, and he ended up taking the life of that man, and he fled from Egypt out of fear of the Pharaoh. And then the second time he fled Egypt, or left Egypt, was when he returned 40 years later. God used him to deliver and take the people out of Egypt. I believe, this is just my opinion, I believe this refers to the second time that he fled Egypt. And the reason why I believe it is because the first time he did flee in fear. The Bible tells us in verses 14 and 15 of Exodus 2 that he fled in fear because of Pharaoh, fled from the face of Pharaoh. You know, one thing that we find out with faith right up front, do you realize faith can provide victory over past failures? You know, once we're saved, we can have victory over that sin that dominated us. Once we're saved, our addictions that may have controlled us through faith in God, we can have victory over those. Those areas we may have stumbled before, we may have struggled with faith in God, we can have victory over those areas. Now, as far as Moses is concerned, this first act of faith, it says in verse 27 of Hebrews 11, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Bible tells us here that this was an act of faith. Now think about it. One man following God, one man following God, would be used to deliver 2 million Israelites from slavery, from a powerful nation that wanted to keep them there. One man. You do realize with God all things are possible. You see, God does not need an army to overcome people in this world. God can take one man and work through that one individual. Now think about Moses for a minute. He had nothing to gain in this situation. He had nothing at all to gain. It wasn't about his personal pride or ambition. Actually, he had everything to lose. The people that he was delivering were poor and oppressed people. They didn't have treasures or wealth. They were slaves, the Bible tells us. Now, they did leave wealthy because God blessed them. But when Moses went into Egypt, there was no earthly reward waiting for him. He went in because he trusted God and that God would direct. Also, Moses had no title waiting for him. He wasn't going to be king of these people. He wasn't going to be their leader afterwards. Actually, the Bible tells us he went into the wilderness with them. Because of his words, because of some things he said, he was not allowed to go into the promised land himself. So he himself had no great title waiting for him. You know, humanly speaking, I think it was a hopeless endeavor. Why would he even go do this? Why would he even think about doing this? That's where faith comes into play. You see, God directed, so Moses went. You see, he had faith in God. Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus chapter 5. We're going to look at a few of these verses this morning just to see what took place. Of course, it covers several chapters, so we're not going to read all of it, but there are a few I want to draw your attention to. The first one is in Exodus chapter 5, verse 2. It says, "And Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." You know, this was said upon the first meeting that Moses had with Pharaoh. You know what took place? Moses went before Pharaoh and said, "Let God's people go. The Lord has commanded, the Lord has directed." Pharaoh looked at Moses. Now, I believe at this time Moses was older. He wasn't that young. I could say intelligent young man. He'd been 40 years in the wilderness with sheep and everything else. And here he comes in and he says, "Let God's people go." And this Pharaoh looks and says, "Who are you? And who is your Lord?" He's not going to let him go. In other words, he brushed him off, probably sent him out the door. You know what? A lot of people would have just kept on going. You know, "Okay, God, I did my best. I'm going to move on." Moses stuck it out. He continued there. The Bible says there that he continued. You know, you think about this. He had no earthly authority. He had no power. He had no money to go in. He had no army to deliver these people. But God had directed him. And so by faith, Moses, the Bible says, led the people without fear. You know, he trusted God's power. He trusted that God would protect him before this Pharaoh. He trusted that God would protect him from his armies and from everyone else that the Pharaoh could probably send after him. And the Bible makes it very clear that he was not afraid of the Pharaoh. You know, by the time Moses got to announce the 10th plague, and the Bible says in Exodus chapter 11, verse 8, the Bible says that Moses was angry at the Pharaoh. And then he boldly announced the 10th plague. In other words, Moses was not afraid of this man. Moses walked with God, and he did what God wanted him to do. You see, Moses had nothing to fear. Why should we fear when we walk with Almighty God? You see, we should not fear any person on earth when we walk with God and we serve God. God is the creator of all. So the Bible tells us, we go back to Hebrews 11, it says, by faith that it says there in verse 27, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. And then notice what it said next. It says, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Now, endured. That word for endure means to have strength, power, and fortitude. I guess the best way I can describe it is the difference between running a marathon and then running a 100-yard dash. You have to endure if you're going to run that marathon. I've never ran a marathon. I remember when I was in high school and we were sometimes given a choice between running a sprint or running long distance. We took the sprint every time. We wanted to get it over with. We didn't want to have to just keep running and running and running. It takes endurance to run a marathon or to run any length of distance. It takes some endurance. You got to, you know, pace yourself and you got to keep on going when you're tired or an obstacle gets in the way. You have to continue. The Bible tells us that by faith Moses endured the difficulties. Sometimes in life, God calls upon us to endure the difficulties. You do realize God can remove any trial from your life. He can. He has that power. Just because He's not removing it does not mean He cannot remove it, or it does not mean He cares less. He has it there for a purpose. And God may want you to endure that, to just continue on and build up your strength and your faith and keep looking to Him. You see, it implies here, when it says Moses endured, it implies the ability to withstand great hardship, great troubles, great trials, great difficulties. You know, it meant that Moses was patient, that he was bold, and that he was courageous, and that he was able to continue without quitting. Now, that says a lot about an individual, when they won't give up. When they won't quit. You know, as believers this morning, I want to challenge each one of you. Don't quit when you serve God. You know, you may make a mistake, or you may have a day that's just an off day, or a day that you struggle. Don't quit. Seek God out in prayer. If it's sin involved, then seek His forgiveness and forsake the sin. If it's just a trial or difficulty, seek His strength to help you through. But don't quit. Continue on. That's what Moses did. It says that he endured. Now, he had to endure, of course, the Pharaoh. Bible tells us he was furious, he was angry, he was mad, and he was stubborn. He wasn't going to let these people go. And so Moses had to endure his anger and his threats. Moses also had to continue while the Israelites complained and they bickered and they even accused him of causing the problems. You know, it's difficult sometimes to continue when people are just going at you verbally and attacking. You know, that may happen at work. You know, you got to continue. Be faithful. Moses endured. You know why? I think he had faith that God was in control, that God had put him there for a purpose, that God would lead them out when it was time. This morning, I want to encourage you, have faith that God has a plan for your life, that He's put you where He wants you, whether it's at your position at work, or if you get a new job, or the neighborhood you live in, or the church you're at. Just be faithful and continue to look to God. You know, by faith, Moses never compromised. I'm going to read you some verses here I thought was interesting as we go through this. Moses went to the Pharaoh. And you know what the Pharaoh told him? Exodus chapter 8, verse 25. Pharaoh told him, he said, "Go ye, sacrifice to God in the land." In other words, Moses says, "Okay, you want to sacrifice to God? Go ahead and go do it. You can do it. Don't leave, but you can sacrifice to God." You know what? Moses could have compromised and said, "Okay, we'll sacrifice to God." No, he wasn't having none of that. Moses said, "No, we're going to leave." And so you know what the Pharaoh said next? Exodus chapter 8, verse 28, he says, "I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you shall not go very far away." In other words, Pharaoh says, "Okay, you can go, but just go outside the boundaries." I'm sure he was going to have his army watch and be ready. He wasn't going to let him leave. He says, "You can go sacrifice, we'll just let you go a little bit away." And Moses said, "No, we're not going to have that." According to Hebrews chapter 10, next the Pharaoh said, "Not so, go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord." In other words, he tells them, "Okay, if you want to go, then just take the men." This Pharaoh knew eventually those men would come back. They're going to leave their wife and their children and their families. He said, "Just take the men and go do what you need to do and then come back." And Moses said, "No, we're not going to have any of that." And then the Bible tells us that the Pharaoh finally said, "Okay, go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed." In other words, okay, you can go, but leave everything else here. He said, I think he knew they'd come back eventually, or that was probably the plan. You see, compromise. Moses was tempted to compromise when he fled Egypt. At any point, he could have said, "Okay, that sounds good, we'll do that." You know what would have happened? They would have remained in the land. You see, by faith, Moses said, "It's God's way or no way at all." Now, that's difficult. That really is, in our personal life. You know, sometimes you may read the scriptures, and all of a sudden you say, "Oh, maybe I shouldn't be doing that or doing this, or maybe I should be doing this or that." You see, when it comes to the Word of God, we should have that attitude. It's God's Word or no way at all. We need to be faithful to the Bible. And that's what Moses was. You know, before we move on to our next thought, it says there, we go back to Hebrews 11 and verse 27. It says, "For he endured." And notice what it says at the end of this. I really believe this is probably if not the key to the entire passage, definitely one of the most important parts, as seeing him who is invisible. Moses had faith, and he lived, notice this, as if he saw God. Now, the Bible makes it very clear he didn't literally see God. It's not teaching that God was there in front of him every day. But Moses lived as if he saw God right there. The Bible tells us in John 4, verse 24, that God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is not seen with our physical eyes. Moses didn't have God before him there. But he lived as if God was. Now think about that for a minute. Are we living as if God is right there with us? You do realize God observes and God pays attention. Perhaps that's why his faith was strong. Perhaps that's why he had no problem going and doing what God had directed, because he believed God was right there with him. You know, in Psalm chapter 16, verse 8, it says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. This morning, if you're struggling with something, maybe you have fear in your life. Maybe something has happened in your personal life or at work. I want to encourage you, if you belong to God, the Spirit dwells within you. Live as if God is right there. Have faith. Be strong. Don't quit. Continue. By faith, Moses actively followed the Lord without fear. Next, notice he fulfilled God's plan, though he was unsure of the future. You know, I think if we're not careful, it's easy for us to look back at these Old Testament saints, and when we read the account, we forget that they were like us. They didn't know what the future held. I mean, they may have had some information that God gave them, but they didn't know all the details. They had to live day by day just like we do. Notice what it says in verse 28 of Hebrews 11. Through faith, it says, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. So let's talk about the Passover for a little bit and what took place. The Bible tells us that here, Moses was able to fulfill God's plan concerning the Passover, though he was probably unsure or uncertain of the future. Moses, the Bible tells us in Exodus 12, was directed to initiate the Passover. He was the one that was given the directions, and he was the one that passed it on to the people. Now, before we get into this, I want to give you, just so we know what was occurring. God had already poured out his judgment on Egypt. 9 plagues, and those plagues were terrible. You read through those, any one of those should have softened that Pharaoh's heart and sent him on his way, or allowed him to send the people on their way. But God poured out those plagues and his judgment upon Egypt, and the Bible says that they remained stubborn. They weren't going to let the people go. They were stubborn in their ways. And Moses was threatened with death. You know what Pharaoh told him? He told him to get out of here. And if you saw him again, he was going to kill him. Now that's where Moses is at right now. Egypt is stubborn. He can't go before Pharaoh anymore, or else, you know, he could be put to death. And you know what was also happening? The Israelites were becoming discouraged. You know what the Pharaoh was doing? He was oppressing them even worse during this process, trying to discourage them and to break their spirit. And the Bible tells us that they, because of this oppression that had escalated, that they began to become impatient and upset. And you know who they blamed? Moses. Now, he was in a tough situation. He's getting all the blame for everything. And here he's getting blamed because the Israelites are saying, we're getting treated harshly now. And keep in mind, he hadn't yet delivered them. So they're probably saying, you know, where's that promise of deliverance? Life's getting worse here. And so here we have Moses. As he's waiting for God to direct, the Lord comes to him and provides direction concerning the Passover. Now, humanly speaking, let's just think about this. It would have been very easy for Moses to say, is that it, God? You want us to sacrifice the lamb? Put the blood on the doorpost? So that the angel of the Lord can come by and then they're going to let us go? I imagine, now maybe not. Moses may have had a lot more faith than I did, but very easily he could have said, you've already sent 9 plagues, Lord. They haven't done anything. And this here might not have any effect. You think about this. The direction that God gave Moses, there was nothing for Moses to do but to obey. He wasn't to get an army and to march in. He wasn't to fight. He wasn't to go in and try to convince the Pharaoh to let him go. He was simply to, the Bible says, to take a lamb to sacrifice it. Now, as far as the lamb was to be taken out of the flock, separated, set aside. It was to be without blemish and slain as a sacrifice. No bones were to be broken in the process. And then the blood of that lamb was to be sprinkled on the doorpost. And God told Moses, basically the angel of death was coming that night, and that if there was no blood over the doorpost, then the firstborn in that house would be slain. That's basically what we find here. I've often wondered what the Egyptians thought. They must have seen them going out and getting these lambs. I mean, they've been oppressing these people, trying to break their spirit. And here the Israelites are going out, picking out their lambs. And I imagine these Egyptians, what are they doing? And then the Bible tells us that the Israelites waited, they separated them, and then they sacrificed them and put that blood on the doorpost. And I've often wondered what some of the Egyptians thought when they saw the actions of the Israelites. Perhaps they mocked, perhaps they laughed, perhaps they ridiculed, maybe they just shook their head and said, oh, these foolish people. As they're placing that door, that blood over the doorpost and leaving it there and going in for the night. But the Bible tells us that that night turned tragic for the Egyptians. Because according to Exodus chapter 12, the angel of the Lord, the angel of death, did come that night. And you know what's interesting? Everyone was in his sights. What I mean by that is when the angel of the Lord came that evening in Egypt, the entire city was in his sights, or the entire nation was in his sights, and the only ones that would be spared that were the ones that had the blood over the doorpost. If someone would refuse to do that, if someone would stubbornly say, I'm not going to do that, then they would be in sights of the angel of the Lord that would come down and slay their firstborn. You see, the firstborn of the Israelites was spared simply because they followed the Lord's direction. And they put that blood over their doorpost. It had nothing to do with their achievements. It had nothing to do with their work. It had nothing to do with their abilities of any kind whatsoever. It was a complete act of faith. Now think about this. This was new. Nothing had ever been done like this before. It was unique. But Moses followed. You see, sometimes God may take us down a road that is unique and different. God may say, I'm going to get you out of your comfort zone and allow you to face this trial. You see, Moses was given something new in his life. But because it was from God, he didn't reject it. He went by faith. You know, eventually it became an ordinance for all of the Israelites, and it would forever symbolize their faith in God's saving power. I'm going to say this. We know that this symbolizes the Messiah that was to come. You see, God was not only going to take the people out of Egypt. You know what he's going to do? He was going to give them a picture of their future Savior, the one who would save all mankind or provide salvation for all those that would put their faith in Him. Now the Bible tells us in John 1 verse 29, what did John the Baptist say when he saw Jesus Christ? He said, Behold the Lamb of God, which cometh to take away the sins of the world. The Lamb of God. I tell you, you go back all the way back to Egypt, and we see the symbolism and the preparation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, what's also important for us to understand is the shedding of blood is required for salvation. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 9. And I'm going to look at just two verses and give you two thoughts, and then we'll move on. But Hebrews chapter 9, and notice what it says in verse 22 concerning the blood. It says, And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. That word for remission means pardon or forgiveness. The Bible makes it very clear there is no forgiveness, no pardon without the shedding of blood. There had to be blood shed. That's why Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, because there had to be shedding of blood. Now turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to point out one other verse, and then we're going to move on, but this is important for us to see. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to begin in verse 1. 1 Peter 1 verse 1 says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. And notice what he says here, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Do you do realize, according to the Scriptures, to be saved, not only must the blood be shed, or must blood shed to cover sin, but that blood has to be sprinkled. In other words, it has to be applied. Now, of course, we think of salvation. Jesus Christ shed His blood. Why? So we could be saved. But secondly, just because He died on the cross doesn't mean everyone is saved. That has to be applied to your life. In other words, you have to trust in Christ. You have to repent of your sins, trust in Christ as your Savior. Accept that sacrifice in your place to be saved. You see, that's when the blood will sprinkle on your heart as far as the blood of Jesus Christ, and your sins will be forgiven. It'll be applied to your life. This morning, I want to encourage you to make sure that you have trusted in Christ as your Savior. Examine your heart right now. Just examine it. You know, salvation doesn't just happen one day. The Bible makes it very clear it's a personal relationship between you and God. That at some point in your life, you repented of your sins and you believed on Jesus Christ. You see, I want to encourage you this morning to make sure that when you examine your life, that there has a point where you can look and say, hey, you might not remember the exact details or the time or the date. Now you might, but some people might not remember all that, but they might say, yeah, I know, that's the day I was saved. That's the time I trusted in Christ as my Savior. Now here this morning, if there's someone that you can look at your life and you say, you know what, I don't have that. I don't know your heart, but I will tell you this, I encourage you to give an honest examination. Perhaps it's not there because you've never made that decision. You could be in church your entire life and never put your faith in Jesus Christ. See, it has nothing to do with, you know, church membership or works of any kind, but having a relationship with Jesus Christ. So I encourage you just to examine your heart. You know, by faith, you know what Moses did? He obeyed God's command and he fulfilled the Lord's plan. You see, the Lord had a plan for Moses. He had a plan for the Israelites. He had a plan for mankind. And by faith, Moses fulfilled his part. I want to encourage you this morning to live by faith. Finally, notice that he forged ahead, though he was overcome. Now, this is our final one. Now, these are all three distinct, actions of Moses. This is the third and final one. Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to read verse 29, and we're going to finish this up with this final thought. It says, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. Now here's the final thought we have, or the final action we see of Moses that his faith produced. He forged ahead, though he was overcome. Now this, I believe, where his faith was really tested. You know, Moses, I tell you what, the Pharaoh finally let the people go. The people were blessed, they were given all these treasures, and they left. But you know what's interesting? Moses did not know what would transpire when they went out. How many of you ever went on vacation? Now there may be someone here who's done this. You just got in your car and took off. You know, we college kids do that sometimes. Nowadays, I go on vacation. I plan it all out. I know where I'm going to stay and I have everything scheduled. Moses, when he left, he knew he was going to the promised land. He didn't know what to expect when they arrived. He didn't know, you know, people were still inhabiting there. There were, you know, they didn't have a city waiting for him, all decorated and waiting for him there. It was a test of faith. He had to follow God. The Bible tells us they took off at night in darkness. They had to go by faith. You know, the people, the Israelites, they enjoyed the freedom at first. You know, when we do things to begin with, it's always exciting to start a new endeavor. But after a while, the Bible says they began to complain again and grumble. Some of them even said, let's go back to Egypt. If we're going to die, it's better off we stayed there. Why'd you even bring us out to this wilderness? So they began to become discouraged. And the Bible says they were afraid. You know what fear is for a believer? Fear is distrust in God. You know, if we have fear, that means we don't trust God. We don't trust His power. We don't trust His purpose, His plan, His ability to work in our life. That's what fear is. And so they began to fear. They disbelieved that God would bless them as they went this direction. You know, Moses really was in a bind. Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus 14. I want to just read a few verses so we see what took place here. He really was in a bind. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 10 is what we're going to look at real quick. Beginning in verse 10, we're going to read a few verses. Exodus 14, it says in verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. So we have the Pharaoh. The Bible tells us the Egyptians are bearing down upon him. And Moses was in a bind. Now think about this for a minute. Here he is. He's got the water in front of him. There's the Red Sea. He's got the water in front of him. On one side, we know there were mountains. On the other side, there was a wilderness. And then behind him, he's got the Egyptians coming to destroy him or to capture him and bring him back. And then all around him, you know what he has? A bunch of grumbling and complaining people. Moses was really in a terrible situation. I don't envy Moses in this situation. And the Bible tells us that really, when you think about it, his only hope was God. That was it. Do you realize God may allow us to get to that point in our life? Maybe there's someone here this morning that's right there. Maybe it's a health problem. Maybe it's just a personal issue. Something has occurred in your life that you've reached the point where all you can do is just pray to God and leave it with Him. That's it. You're just, like Moses, you're almost in a bind. It may not be the same bind, but you're in a bind where all you can do is seek the Lord. I want to encourage you to seek the Lord. We're going to see that. That's what Moses did. He just trusted God and he moved forward. You know, difficulties are not indication that we're out of God's will. And we need to be careful of that. Just because someone is having a hard time doesn't mean that they're living in sin. You know, someone's struggling as a believer, we shouldn't assume that, oh, they're getting what they deserve. In reality, God just may be testing them. And we should help them if we're able to, encourage them, and pray for them during their difficult time. Now think about the Israelites. The Red Sea, the enemy didn't put the Red Sea there. The Red Sea had been there before. They ran into it as they were following God's direction. So the Bible tells us Moses looked to God by faith. Now, Moses was the only one that trusted the Lord. And perhaps Joshua, maybe a handful of others. But the Israelites as a whole were doubting. You do realize the faith of one can bless others. And that has happened many times. The Apostle Paul in the book of Acts had faith that God would bless, and the entire crew of the ship was saved. Acts chapter 27, 28, we find that. You see, God can bless through one individual. God can bless a family through a dad, through a mom that has faith. God can bless a work site through an individual that has faith. You see, God can bless based upon one person. Someone that belongs to Him, that loves Him, that's going to live for Him, be sold out for Him, do everything they can for Him. And that's what Moses was. Moses had faith in God. And by faith, he looked to God. Now, if he'd have looked to the world, you know what he would have done? He probably would have just curled up and quit. Or he said, you know, let's just go back. This is hopeless. We have nowhere to go. Instead of focusing on the problem, he looked to God. You know, another thing I find interesting is he didn't argue with those that were complaining. He just ignored them, and he had faith in God. You know, there are times where we just need to keep going forward. By faith, you know what they did? The Bible says they crossed that Red Sea. They did the impossible. Moses, of course, held out that rod, and God parted the waters, and they went across that sea. They didn't swim across it. They didn't sail across it. They didn't hurry over a bridge that they quickly built to get across. The Bible tells us that they walked across on dry land. I've had some say, well, that couldn't be possible. With God, all things are possible. You just go back to Genesis 1:1. If you believe God created this world, then you can believe He can open up or part the waters if He should choose to. You see, with God, all things are possible. That's what we're talking about, faith in God. And this was an act of faith. Now, those waters, the Bible says that they parted. And they walked across on dry land. You know, I think it's interesting is that this took place at nighttime. I imagine their visibility was limited as they began to walk across that water, or across the dry land as they began to go. And to be honest with you, I imagine some of them may have struggled or doubted. I mean, we're going to walk right in the middle of this. What if the waters come down upon us? What if they come crashing back in like we know they did to the Egyptians? You see, it was a daunting task. These waters just opened up and God said, go across. And the Bible says that they began to go across. They followed God's command. And you know what they found out? That there is no difficulty too great for God to overcome. This morning, there is no difficulty in your life too great for God to overcome. You put your faith in God. You trust in Him. And He can get you through any situation. You know, I think Moses demonstrated to us how we are to act when we face or deal with a great hardship. First, you know what he did? The Bible says he feared not and he stood still. In other words, he didn't just go run off head first and say, well, let's just try this. You see, he didn't run ahead in fear. He waited on God to direct. Also, he refused the urge. Now, this is where I struggle. He refused the urge just to come up with his own plan. He refused the urge to have human reasoning involved or to have self-will get involved. He trusted God. And when God parted those waters, he said, let's go. And they all walked across on dry land. Also, you know what he did? After he removed his fear, he looked to God and he followed God's direction. You see, that's what we just need to do this morning. We have the Word of God. The more we read it, the more we'll know the direction that God has for us. The more we read it, the more we'll know the practical teachings that are found in the Scriptures that'll help us on a day-to-day basis. You see, Moses, what he did is he just looked to God and simply followed His direction. This morning, how can we look to God? How about by taking our cares and concerns to Him? You know, when you run into a trial or a trouble, do as what it says in 1 Peter. Cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You do realize God wants us to pray to Him. God asks us to pray to Him and give Him our cares. Take our burdens to Him so He can carry them. You know, if we're not careful, we can carry our own burdens. I've often wondered when we get to heaven if the Lord's going to look at us and say, you know what, life would have been a lot easier if you let me carry those burdens. You had a tough time because you were just carrying all of them. Instead of letting me help you through those, I encourage you to give your burdens to the Lord. Now, of course, do what you can. It's not encouraging laziness. Do what you can. But then, when it's out of your control, give it to God and trust Him. And then just move forward like Moses did. That's all he could do. He could go forward and trust in the Lord. Read the Word, apply it. And then finally, just put your faith in God. That's what faith is. Full confidence in God. Just trusting Him. So I encourage you to trust in the Lord. By faith, Moses was able to forge ahead. I tell you what, he was overcome. He forged ahead, God opened up a door, and he was blessed. You see, God can bless us in a similar fashion. You know, in closing this morning, we've looked at three distinct examples of Moses and how he lived by faith. You know, his faith, obviously we can say his faith was more than formality. What I mean by that, it wasn't just words with him. He didn't say, yeah, I have faith, I love God. He didn't sing about faith. He lived by faith. He trusted God with his life. He trusted God as he went forward in life. You see, Moses lived as if God was right there before him. That's what he did. He lived as if God were right there. And that's what we need to do. We need to live as if God were right there with us. I was reading a story once on Billy Sunday, the evangelist. And he preached some powerful messages. Many people were saved under his ministry. Someone once asked him the power behind his preaching, and he said it was prayer, that he talked to God. Well, I was reading a story later in his ministry, as he was nearing the end, that he was picked up in a car. He was scheduled to speak at some meetings. He arrived, and an individual picked him up in a car. He got in the back seat and hurried up. He was running late, so he hopped in. The guy took off. Well, the man who was driving told the story. He said as he was driving, he got about halfway to the church building where they were going to meet, have the meeting, and he heard Billy Sunday in the back talking. But the man was positive he only picked up one person. But he said the conversation that Billy Sunday was having was as if he was talking to somebody. He said after about 5 minutes, he couldn't help it. He looked back. He had to. He said he glanced back real quick, and he said he saw his eyes were closed, and he was talking to God. When he dropped off Billy Sunday, he made the comment to him. He said, I thought there were two people in here. And he said, Billy Sunday looked, he said, there were. God was with me and I was talking to him. This morning, that's how we need to live. By faith that God is there, right there with us. Talk with Him. You see, you don't have to wait to get to church to pray to God. You don't have to wait to the end of your day if you have a trial. Speak to Him right then and there. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. Jesus Christ is abiding with us. The Bible teaches that. And so let's develop a relationship with God. And let's live as Moses, as if. Of course, we can't see Him physically. But as if He were right there with us. Helping us through our troubles. Helping us through our trials. Guiding us and directing us. You know, Moses had faith. And faith is required to please God. This morning, obviously, faith is how we approach God. If you're going to be saved and trust in Christ, it is by faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, which we've discussed a little bit earlier. And then afterwards, that's how we're to live. You know, the just shall live by faith. That's what Paul said in Hebrews 10. The just shall live by faith. This morning, I give you a few questions in closing. Do you have faith in God? Do you have saving faith? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Do you have faith afterwards? Are you living by faith? Does your faith produce activity in your life? Is your faith evident? Can it be seen through your works? Dear Lord, we thank You for this day. Thank You for the blessings You provided. As we have this time of invitation, Lord, I pray that if You've worked in anyone's heart here this morning, that they'll seek You out and they'll get things settled. I thank You for this testimony of Moses, Lord, and for the faith that we see and the activity that we see because of his faith in You. And Lord, I pray this will just be a challenge to each of us here this morning, that not only will we be thankful for our salvation, but also that we'll continue to live by faith, and that our faith will be seen in our actions and in how we live and in our decisions. Please guide and direct in this time of prayer and in